Peace lovers, you came back. I'm so happy. Come and get in the bed with me. I am cuddling with my favorite teddy bear, Two Teeth, and I'm so happy because today, Two Teeth and I are going to introduce you to one of my closest friends. Her name is Spice, and she is an amazing performer. So I hope you stay tuned for our conversation about just her extraordinary life and the work that she does on stage as a burlesque performer. And also, Spice and I have a really cool strand of the episode for you tonight. It's called Blue Dream. So I hope you stay tuned and hear us kiki and cackle about my wonderful, beautiful friend and her wonderful, beautiful life, as well as this wonderful, beautiful flower called Blue Dream. So, if this is your very first time joining me, what took you so long? No, I'm joking. If this is your first time joining me, I'm so happy to have you here in bed with me. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. And if you're back for more, I love you. Thank you so much for being a part of the Somewhere in Between family. I do have one tiny little update for you. I've been getting different questions because I always ask people what they're reading. So I have decided, yes, we are going to do a Somewhere in Between book club. I'm very pleased. We're going to kick off in December with Adrienne Marie Brown's Pleasure Activism. So that'll be our first official book. And then for the month of January, I'd like to switch it up into a film. So we'll kind of alternate in between. But stay tuned for more information. If you'd like to be a part of the book club, go to my Instagram, Somewhere with Fancy. Send me a message. Let me know you're interested, and I will add you to our update list. Okay? I've got a few more episodes that I need to record this week, so stay tuned for that. And yeah, enjoy the show. But first, we've got to do what we always do. Let's just start off and take a deep cleansing breath. Inhale through your nose. Big, full belly full of air. And exhale through your mouth. Ah, let's do one more. Inhale, filling your lungs, filling your belly with air and positivity and light. And exhaling bullshit, exhaling negativity, exhaling rejection. Family, I love you so much. Thank you so much for joining me again. And let's get into this episode. See you on the other side. All right, lovers, I'm lighting up. Lovers, welcome to the strand of the episode. I'm so excited because I am smoking with one of my bestest friends who you're gonna meet in a little bit. What's up, girl?
Hey!
Hey! Spice, I'm so excited. We're gonna do your interview in a little bit. I can't wait to talk to you about all the amazing things that you're doing. But first, I wanted to ask you, what are you smoking today?
Blue Dream.
You're smoking on... You said what?
Blue Dream.
You're smoking Blue Dream?
Yes.
I love Blue Dream. So,
me too.
I love Blue Dream. And when you told me that it was one of your favorite strands, you know what I did first, right?
Looked it up.
I looked that shit up. So, you guys know I adore Leafly, and I can't wait for them to be a sponsor for me. Hint, 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 Leafly. So, I love Leafly for a few reasons. I always go to them first when I find a new strand that I'm interested in because I know that they're going to do a great job breaking it down for me. So, do you want to know what I found out about Blue Dream?
Of course.
Okay, cool. All right. So, I'm such a nerd. So, first of all, I found out that Blue Dream has I'm all tongue-tied because I'm excited. So some of the taste components are, of course, blueberry. It also has a high, like, peppery taste that it's describing, and also a note of pine. Is that how you would describe it?
Yes.
cool.
Hey, thank you.
Very cool. Okay. So, it's a sativa dominant hybrid. So, of course, when we talk about sativas, guys, we're talking about something that's going to have you more of a cerebral high. It's not going to be that kind of a high that has you weighed down and feeling very tired, but something that a lot of people feel like inspires creativity and energy. So if that's what you're looking for and what you're smoking, this might be something that you'll enjoy. It originates from California, and it is mixed with Blueberry Haze and Blue Dream. It said that it gives you a full body relaxation, but it's more of a gentle high, and most of it is cerebral, designed for more of a cerebral invigoration. So novice as well as veteran customers enjoy it, and they said that it gives them a calm, euphoric feel. As far as the effects, for the positive effects, the ones that were reported was a creative, focused, energetic, tingly, and even giggly feeling. And when they looked at the medicinal purposes, 139 people have reported using this to cure seizures. 382 people have reported relief from cramps. 1,047 people reported relief from headaches. 913 people have reported having relief from lack of appetite. Well, that's just called the munchies, but okay, I'll take it. And 1,050 people have reported relief from experiencing nausea. So if you are experiencing any of those things, Blue Dream might be something that you're interested in. And also, I wanted to note that it has a 19% THC content. So this is something that I really would think would be good for daytime use, because it's concentrated, but it's not knock you off your feet concentrated. And it is a sativa, so it's going to keep you in that kind of a socialized, energetic, creative space. Did you have anything you want to add? Like, when was your first time that you enjoyed Blue Dream?
Probably maybe like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And I noticed immediately that I would be artistically inspired.
Nice.
By it.
Nice.
And that I would be able to envision or garner ideas for pieces with it. So I'm very, very excited about thinking in that way.
Yeah.
And so that's my main word, is that it really gives me some artistic inspiration. It is not the sole impetus, because I am a lifelong creative, and so this just enhances it at times.
That's really cool.
But I'm always thinking about creating, like that never stops.
For sure, for sure. Can I ask you, how do you normally enjoy your cannabis?
Flower or cartridge in the oil form.
Cool.
That's how I'm doing.
Very cool. You know, I'm a little curious. I wanted to ask you, what is it, what's the culture like in Washington State, in Seattle, for cannabis? Like, what is it? What's your shopping like? What's that whole situation like?
It is, it's very normalized here. There are cannabis shops like there are convenience stores. The folks that work there are really intelligent. They are very helpful. They are very legal. The particular place that I shop at is a chain called Have a Heart. And IDs checked at the door. IDs also checked before the purchase. So, you know, it's very normalized out here. I believe, you know, it seems like a well-oiled machine, but there definitely are lots of kinks that need to be worked out because, you know, it's a cash business. And so that's a thing. But as far as cannabis culture, it is definitely normalized.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool. I wanted to ask you that question because, like, I'm all the way out here on the East Coast where we still live like outlaws. Even in places where it's not criminalized or it's legal, we still live like outlaws. Like, D.C. is legal, but we still live like outlaws. And Maryland is now decriminalized, but, you know, it's much more accessible than it was, and it feels safer than it has, but it's also, lately, a lot of, like, police raids have been going on at pop-up shops, and it's been a lot, like, we live in, like, outlaws, for real. It's whack. Yeah, so, you know, when you get to stroll down the street in Seattle and just casually roll up in your... In your flower shop, keep us in mind, honey, because we out here ducking and dodging, trying to get by.
What?
We you know how I told you we live like we're playing a theme song to Good Times.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my God, girl, let's get to this episode. Okay, lovers, thank you so much for coming back. So, I have been so excited to introduce you to this amazing human. I met her, and I initially, like, immediately fell in love with her. And I know that if you have seen her perform, if you have just been in her company as a person, I know that you feel the same way. And it's so funny because the first time I met her, I wanted to speak to her, but I felt like she might be running from me, and I thought, is she running from me? I can't tell. So as it happens, the very next day, I had another opportunity to meet her, and I almost met her, but she ran from me again. And then finally, the stars aligned, and we ended up at the same cookout, and there was an empty chair sitting next to her, and I sat down. And I handed her my vape pen, and she has been my new best friend ever since. Guys, it is an honor and a privilege to introduce you to a person and just an amazing person and an amazing performer. She goes by the stage name of Spice. And if you are anywhere in the Washington State area, I implore you to see a stage near her. And if you are anywhere near a stage where she is visiting, I urge you to please clutch your pearls and grab all of your fives and your tens and your twenties and, you know, some ones if that's what you're working with, and go see her because she deserves it. Please, I feel like Steve Harvey, please put your hands together and show some love for my girl, Spice. Spice.
Hello. Hey.
I'm so pleased that you're on my show.
So excited. This is my very first podcast. I'm a really shy performer, and most people don't hear my voice very much.
Oh my gosh. And you decided to do my tiny show? Oh man.
Yeah, because I love you and you're my new bestie.
Yes. Guys, you really have to understand, Spice and I literally talk every Sunday. It's become a part of my self-care plan, actually.
Right. It is the plan.
So one of the reasons why I admire you so much is because you are a person that has created a life around your passion. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted you to come onto the show. Can you take a minute to talk a little bit about, to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your background for some of my listeners that might not be familiar with you and your work?
Sure. I am Spice. My stage name is spelled with a lowercase S, a lowercase P, capital I, capital C, capital E, with an exclamation point. So, I'm hot and I'm cold. I'm a Sagittarius Capricorn. So, that's very much a part of who I am as a person and my persona. I've been performing as Spice for 5 years now. My burlesque anniversary was on September the 21st. I've been performing as a professional stage dancer since 2001. I have my bachelor's in theater with an emphasis on dance and African-American acting studies. I also have my master's of fine arts in dance to focus on choreography. I've been performing as a freelance dancer ever since I started performing professionally. I'm also a teacher at Miss Indigo Blues Academy of Burlesque, and I'm a member of the Burlesque Super Troupe, the Atomic Bombshells, and I am one of the newest members of the House of Nile, and that is led by the incomparable Egypt Black Nile, the Golden Goddess herself.
That's fantastic. So... your education, it's a lot, but I mean, to me, it's so impressive to me the way that you have been able to, just really, cover the art of dance professionally, education wise, just it, when you watch as an audience member watching you perform, I can see that you are a professional dancer, but I also just see joy. Like, I also just see, like, unbridled joy. And I don't see that a lot of times from performers. So can you tell me, like, where did your passion for performance art come from?
My passion for performance art, particularly dance, came from watching my family party a lot. My mom... they still party. My mom's from Belize, my dad is from Panama, so, you know, I'm a Caribbean kid, and I watched them party so much, and just, I was around all of that joy. They danced for everything, and, you know, even while people were cooking, folks were dancing, and in particular, my Aunt Marie was the best dancer, and that's what brought me out of my shell as a little girl, is watching her dance and then having her encourage me to dance with her. It's really, that is the joy that sits in the pit of my stomach and then I shoot out into the audience when I'm on stage.
You can definitely feel that. You definitely feel that love. I would like to talk to you specifically today about your career as a burlesque performer. Can you tell me what was it like leading up to your debut as a burlesque performer, and what were some of the differences from what you were used to doing?
That was very intense for me, because A, I've always wanted to strip, but B, you know, I came from this very structured background of performance, choreography, and months of work to get things on stage, and no stripping involved. Now, I performed completely nude, but that is different from removing articles of clothing and being seductive, which is, those are things that I invited in as a concert dance performer. And so I was very nervous. I was extremely frustrated. I didn't feel like I could get my clothes off fast enough. I wanted to dance more. Choreography and dancing comes easy to me, but, like, trying to figure out how to seductively take my clothes off just made me nervous.
I bet. It would,
but
yeah.
I did make two new pieces at my debut. I didn't debut one act. I debuted to at for my debut performance.
Okay, that was real. So what were those acts? Do you remember them?
So one act I still perform it to this day. I just performed it Friday night. That's Contemporary Josephine. That is my tribute to the incomparable Josephine Baker.
I think how
and
fitting.
I that other piece that no one remembered.
You said no one remembered it?
I don't know if anybody remembers. Maybe they did. Maybe they remember how I made them feel.
That's
it was a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets. Because I had a very corporate office job at the time, and here I was stripping on a Sunday night.
I love that. Man, you know I love that shit. I love it. I love it so much. Get you a girl that can do both, okay?
By the way.
I'm sorry, what was that?
So I debuted as a burlesque performer at the Sunday Night Sugar Shack, which is an exceptionally wonderful and different and much needed show in Seattle. It is the only all POC burlesque review in Seattle, the first. And that is curated by Ms. Burke House and also Cinda La Rosa, who are friends and really have been on this ride with me from the very beginning.
That's really cool. You speak a lot about the Sugar Shack. I can't wait to visit.
It's a special experience for anyone involved. If you are a panty boss or a pickup artist, if you are the person running lights, if you're the bartender in the back and you get to see everything, every inch of that space and every person will feel something from that show or discover something about themselves.
That's really cool.
It's a really special experience all the way around.
That's really cool. You know, I wanted to ask you this. So one of the things that I identify in the performers, the burlesque performers specifically, that I feel are really great. I have a few people in mind, but I feel that the branding is very specific to who they are. Not so much that they get trapped in their branding, but just having a defined brand that people can recognize and people can easily identify with you, I feel is so important. Can you tell me what the process was for you identifying your brand? Because you definitely have a specific aesthetic to who Spice is as the performer.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that people are able to attach to that. Because it's entertainment, you must stand out in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I didn't initially know that I should have a brand because I wasn't trained to be an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that I had to learn first. And then knowing that every entertainer has a brand, you know, I use what I already had. You know, I blend social dance forms because that's my initial dance training, you know, in the living room, watching TV or Soul Train or learning from my cousin and my sister. That's my core training.
Okay.
Of dance. And I also began studying dance at 18 through musical theater. I went to school for it, as I mentioned before. And so I mixed a lot of things on stage so that I'm explosive and entertaining. I am working on and learning how to be seductive because that is really important to the form. It's very important to how you advance in the form, too. So my taglines are, you know, I'm the woman who goes from bougie to bangy in the blink of an eye. And that's, you know, I'm from South Central LA. There's this beautiful polish and glam about South Central LA that I love, but it's very rough and tough, but also sparkly.
Yes.
And that's very me and anybody that you meet from South Central LA. And I'm also the high species of hip. That is the core of my movement, because of my upbringing, because of being a Caribbean kid, and I'm hot and I'm cold. So, you know, one moment, you know, all these lovely things happen and I'll stick my tongue out a la Cardi B. And as a person, I'm kind, I'm vigilant, I'm firm, I'm considerate, I'm friendly, and I'm funny. And so, you know, those are my brands. Those are things that are at the core of my heart and who I really am as a person.
No, I 100% I agree with that. Firm for sure. There have definitely been times where I expect you to like say the easy thing that would be easy for the friendship, and you know, you tell me exactly what I need to hear. So yeah, firm. So, okay. So let's talk about your creative process. What goes into that? Like when you are thinking of a new routine, or when you're thinking of revamping an existing routine, what goes into that process?
Mm-hmm. So my creative process is really very inspired by pieces of music that I hear.
Okay.
Or topics that frustrate me, so I usually combine the two.
Okay.
I believe that my work is always emotional and political.
Okay.
And because I want people to feel something. And so that's part of my process. And in particular, when I created one of my signature acts, Hungry,
mm-hmm.
I was very frustrated about what people say about individuals who are bisexual.
Yeah, you know, they I wanted say that to ask you about that.
People are confused.
Yeah.
They're pretty and selfish, and they don't know if they're lesbian
or
gay.
Yeah.
And so by exclusion and discrimination in the queer community, you know, led me to make this piece, but also like hearing straight people say this stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was in the visioning phase of creating the piece, it just popped in my head to use a Snickers bar and a Hostess cupcake to represent folks' genitalia. yeah, and it's been a ride since then.
I really wanted you to talk about that piece because there really is a lot of there's a lot of opinions about bisexual people and pansexual people and where they fit in, and a lot of forced opinions. So I think that was one of the first things that we kind of connected over. It was like, oh, you bi, I'm bi too.
Life is beautiful.
It's beautiful, and every day we get to learn more about ourselves. So, okay, I've got a serious question for you, okay? So, you know, the creative process, the branding, practicing, being fully engaged at your shows and social media work, keeping up with your work, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. That's 'cause, I mean, it kind of reminds me, mine is not as elaborate as yours, but I always kind of think of myself as a one-man band man when it comes to my day-to-day job of doing hair, like running my business and booking my clients. It's a lot. And a lot of times the things that fall off the radar tend to be the things that are most important, like self-care. So for you, for a person that is, you have a day-to-day job that can be very demanding. You get up very early in the morning. You have a commute back and forth. In addition to right, you know, in addition to your teaching responsibilities for your burly babies, for your house, for your own performing, how
partner.
Right, your partner, like how in the absolute fuck?
Yeah, are I you, look up 4:30 in the morning, 5 days a week, y'all. That's real.
That's real.
I might not go out of bed till 4:45 or maybe 5 o'clock if I'm pushing it, but that's my reality. It's not negating anybody else's. But that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we all grind in different ways, so that's my hustle.
For sure.
And so yeah, my self care you really depends on what I need, but I have a couple routines. I do take time away from social media to refresh and recharge because I get overstimulated by it at times.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures and the messaging and the videos and the post this and post that and, you know, promote this and promote that. You know, it's all really wonderful, but it can be a bit much for someone who's grown to be an introvert.
Yeah.
So I say no when my face is full, or I say no if it doesn't fit within the constants in my life. Meaning my day job, my partner, the members of my immediate family, myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I am good at saying no. Sometimes I'll fill my plate up for a specific reason, but I've learned to say no.
That's really important. I don't feel like I was going to say I don't feel like people that identify as female, but I feel like that's just when you are a good person and when you, or maybe you just enjoy what you do, I think it can be really hard to say no and be clear about mm-hmm. those boundaries sometimes. So that shows mm-hmm. a lot of growth when you can do that.
Yeah, it's not easy because I'm a very passionate person.
Mm-hmm.
I care, the people that I care about, I care very deeply for, not just in burlesque, but in life. And so in dealing with and, you know, working through pain and injuries right now, you know, I'm working through some, you know, sciatica, flare-ups, you know, which come and go as I am stressed and not stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Epsom salt baths, getting massages, ibuprofen, not too much of any of those, but those are things that are part of my routine. I also recently started just like soaking my feet, which I find really yummy, and I love that. And regularly going to the spa, and I've been getting back into my yoga, doing yoga practices to get the healing that I need to do. And then I'll be going back to hot yoga next month, and that is my piece, and I love that very much.
That's really, really good. You have to sacrifice your body for your art so often, and even recently you, like, injured your toe, like...
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about that?
I didn't have any toes, you know. I injured my toe on a show night, but, yeah, ended up not... I haven't been performing, and... So it got some time to heal.
That's really good. That's like, it's just...
I perform a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, you literally, like, sacrifice your body every time you get on stage. It's beautiful, but it's definitely a sacrifice.
Yeah, and even the performers that maybe are not as dance-heavy as me, they sacrifice their bodies as well. And what they do, because you just give of yourself in this art form. That is a part of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are some of the people, who are some of the people that have inspired you?
There are a lot of people that have inspired me. They may not be, you know, there are many burlesque people that have inspired me. But there are also some people that are not a part of Burlesque that have inspired me.
Okay.
Celia Cruz, you know, being a Latinx, an Afro-Latinx woman, who became the queen of salsa.
Mm-hmm.
Her story is inspiring, and I love her music and her voice, and it's inspiring to me. The Jamaican music artist, Patra, is really unabashedly sexual in her music and her music videos and her fly ass juicy braids. I just thought that she was amazing.
That's so dope. Yeah.
Lil Kim, of course, like, I don't really need to say much more about being inspired by Kimberly Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, the father of Bela Fousey.
Okay.
Just really inspired by his music. His using art as activism.
I feel like,
who the fuck he was. Like, he was amazing.
You know, I would, Fela, I would encourage everyone to please Google, please, F-E-L-A, K-U-T-I, is that right?
Correct.
Yes, K-U-T-I, please Google, because it's just, I don't know, it's so much beautiful artwork that is just not, is not praised in the general consciousness that I think people really need to investigate more.
One day I hope for that musical to go back on Broadway and tour, because it was really an amazing experience to see Fela. And artists need to see that, because in this art form and burlesque, it is political. You can say whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. but what our legends did when they did it, that's some radical ass shit, and it's fly, and it's political in the story. But I do have some more influences and inspirations, the people that are in the burlesque community.
Okay.
My burlesque mama, Boom Boom the Ring, who been a part of the Seattle burlesque community for a very long time, and is committed to showing brown in this town, and has been committed to showcasing POC performers in Seattle burlesque for a very long time. So that's my mama there, and I love her very much. She really taught me the business of burlesque.
Okay.
My sister, Mrs. House, if you don't know who she is, please do yourself a favor and do that. I really value her friendship, the sisterhood I have with her, and that she is very unabashed in telling me when I need to get my ego in check and get my shit together. Gives me so much praise and so much tough love. You know, she's part of the reason why I'm in this and why I stay in this.
That's beautiful.
I also am inspired by Egypt Black Niles, who is known as the Golden Girl of Burlesque. To date, she has the most titles in burlesque, but it's really, that is a part of her claim to fame. But what is really beautiful about her is, you know, I see her as this grandiose superhuman performer, which she is. But when I met her, I saw her heart.
That's beautiful.
I saw that she was more than what I saw on stage. And her passion and her vibe and her love for every ounce of what she does is inspiring. I'm also inspired by Pearl Noir, because Pearl.
because
when the resurgence of burlesque happened, you know, she was one of the only ones that looked like us, you know, black and dark skin and beautiful and buxom, and the only one though, and she survived that, and she is building her own legacy and creating the door that she wants other people to walk through with the Noir pageant. So I'm ever inspired by her beauty and her teachings and her love. And last but not least, Miss Toni Ellen from Detroit. She's known as the Satin Doll. She is one of our legends. I have gotten to spend time with her by escorting her at BurleyCon 10. And I get really emotional when I talk about her, because when I met her, she changed my whole life. Mm-hmm. I really saw how to conduct myself in burlesque. She is a true class act, but that's really who she is, and I love that about her.
That's so beautiful. How is she?
She is hanging in there.
That's good.
There were some scary times this summer, but she's still here.
Really,
she loves life,
that.
And we love that she is still living.
I don't want to give too much away. I don't know, you know, what you might be comfortable sharing, but I believe she's In her 90s, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's like an achievement. Wow.
Yeah, that her a few years ago. She, all she could talk about, one of the things that she talked about, excuse me, was, coming back to the stage. She was back to the stage.
Wow.
It's so inspiring to see these legends just be and to know that they legit endured to pave the way for the things that we have now.
Right. The things that we take so easily for granted.
We really, really could. But, yeah.
Well,
We should lay at their feet.
I mean, honestly, it's almost as if you kind of want to go and wrap people in bubble wrap just to make sure that they're okay.
Do
Like,
that.
please be okay. So
Yes.
okay, so I do have another question. You always have weird questions. So I am a new a relatively new person. I think for the past maybe year and a half, I've been regularly attending burlesque performances and enjoying it and learning more about the culture and the art form. So I think one of the things that once I was already intrigued in there, I think the thing that made me stick around and made me feel comfortable is that it's just a really queer ass culture. And I was wondering, is it just me or is burlesque hella gay? Like, is it just me?
Oh my goodness. So, Miss Kitty Brady, here in Seattle, told me that, burlesque is a queer art form. And
Okay.
yeah, there are a lot of queer individuals in the art of burlesque, and it's always been that way. Back in the day with the legends, they wouldn't drop their costumes on the floor. Oftentimes, as I was told, performers would hand their costumes off to their partner off stage so that the other performers would not steal them. So the partners were on the road with them, those performers who were queer. So I'm not saying that everybody who does burlesque is queer,
Of course.
but there are a many performers in burlesque that are queer, and that just is. It always will be.
Yeah, I think I mean that tends to be the case in art in general, I think. But it's just so beautiful to me to just see such an array of just humans, people that identify on so many different in so many different ways and just are living, just honestly living their best lives, like being who they really are is so cool. Like I feel like even when I see you sometimes, I see your Instagram post and then I see you when we FaceTime and we have our sister time and it's almost like you're Superman and Clark Kent. Like it's so cool just to see like both
Definitely.
sides of you and just to be able to see people really embrace who they are and indulge in it and relish in it is so exciting.
Yeah. That's why I enjoy, Instagram. But when we FaceTime, my hair is like almost never combed.
When
So
we, I mean, when Spice and I FaceTime, we have the most real conversations. I'm talking like face masks are on, scalps
yeah.
are being moisturized. I mean, like it's some real, it's real, okay? It's it's so real. I'm plucking eyebrow hairs, like we doing a lot. So, oh, okay. So, speaking of our Sunday conversations, so like I said, guys, we talk every Sunday. That's well, within reason. It's not like we're like, I gotta talk. But within reason, we talk every Sunday. And this is, of course, time that you take that you choose to spend with me from your already limited schedule, right? So, just like with anything else that you really want in life, it comes along with sacrifice, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I talk a lot about, you know, just balancing work-life balance and everything that comes along with that. Like, what? I can't imagine some of the time, the sacrifices that are made from your partner or financial sacrifices that come along with the art form. Can you tell me more about, you know, or give me particular examples of different sacrifices that come out of you being involved in burlesque life and culture?
There are a lot of sacrifices. I'm only speaking to my personal sacrifices as a burlesque performer. I want to say that so that people are clear what my intentions are.
Okay.
But these are my sacrifices, right? Because every performer's life is different.
Okay.
For me, there are a lot of financial sacrifices. It is expensive to look good, and it is expensive to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of elitism in burlesque. Now people are probably going to crush their pearls about that, but it's just true. Textiles are costly.
Yeah.
And everybody has it, but then there are people who just want to do it, you know, and everybody should be able to, you know. So there's breaking even, versus turning a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes folks break even. Sometimes folks don't make anything. So I want to get to the point where I am turning profit. You know, I've been breaking even for a few years now. It's time to turn profit. So there's a lot of financial sacrifices that are made. There's a lot of time that goes into burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
Time you're not getting paid for, because, you know, many of us do our own social media admin, our contracts, our emails. We're filling out tech forms for shows. We're trying to request to perform in shows and apply. You know, our social lives and careers. This is an art form that's mostly nightlife. There are some brunch performances, of course, but I sacrifice a lot of sleep.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, and I don't get to spend as much time with my partner as I would like to.
Okay.
My partner's not going to come to every show because she doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
She supports me 100% and is my number one fan. But also, like, we have a real life outside of burlesque, and so, you know, I don't get to spend as much one-on-one time with my partner as I would like to. But that's definite sacrifice.
That is a sacrifice. That is a big sacrifice. I want to come back around and talk more about your partner, but I also wanted to ask you about the culture for people of color. When you talk mm-hmm. about... when we talk about POC, safe spaces for POC, and mm-hmm. we're also talking about the culture of burlesque,
mm-hmm.
from your perspective, again, we can only speak from the perspectives that we hold. From your perspective as a woman of color, as a person that identifies as a woman, person of color, and also a darker-skinned person of color,
mm-hmm.
what is it like for you? What are some of your specific challenges?
Whew, there are many. But there's also some amazing folks, you know, doing some great things too. So in the United States, like, equity and, you know, topics about being inclusive have gotten better in regards to casting.
Okay.
Some of the language is better.
Okay.
But there's still a lot of work to be done, like a whole lot. We live in a country where the standard of beauty in many, many, many regards is white, cisgender, and thin.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that makes it difficult for anybody who's in a part of any type of marginalized community, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I love about burlesque is that people will create or produce the shows that they want to see. I'm really, really inspired by that right now. There are a few shows, as I said, in review. In Seattle, we have the Sunday Night Sugar Shack. That's monthly. You know, if you're in the Seattle area on a second Sunday, you know, come on down and find the Sunday Night Sugar Shack. They have an Instagram. It's an all people of color burlesque review. In Chicago and in other cities as well, there's Jeezy's G Joint, curated by Jeezy Lee, which is an all black burlesque festival. So, yeah, amazing.
That's dope.
And in the United Kingdom, there is the Cocoa Butter Club.
I love that name.
Black burlesque. Yeah, Cocoa Butter Club. Like, yeah, like moisturized.
Yes.
I love it. I love all of it. And as I mentioned before, curating the Noir Pageant, and that's set for March of next year in New York City. So we are creating more spaces for ourselves, and I think that that is amazing. And, you know, some of these things have been established for some time.
The Noir Pageant
is the newest edition.
That's really that is really cool, because I think one of my first, well, not my absolute first, but I think once the thing that really got me hooked to wanting to spend more time in the around the burlesque scene in Richmond was Afrotees. That was, mm-hmm. I mean. I've been to burlesque shows before, and it was like, okay, yeah, let's just have a great time. But Afrotees is an experience, and I try to get people to understand, like, no, you don't understand. This is the reunion, okay? This is the gospel.
What Sugar Shack is like, you know, it is a very, very rich, intense, and just wonderful, juicy feeling.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. I love the fact that we are, if we're not given a seat at the table, we're building our own tables and chairs. You know what I mean? I really love it. And shout out to Vanessa also for being so amazing.
I love you, Vanessa. Vanessa,
love
Bell,
you.
Y'all.
Yes, I'm going to tag her in this episode so she can feel the love. So you know what? Let's come back. Let's talk about your person. So your person is amazing. I love your person. And your person is also a performer. And
yes.
Lynette's so bomb. So what is it like with you being a performer and with her also being a performer? What's the balance like in your house and in your relationship?
It's really interesting, you know, when she's creating and I'm creating, it's definitely a process, because we both have very in-depth creative processes that go on for months.
Okay.
It's very interesting, but it's also super, super fun. But she's been performing burlesque longer than me.
Okay.
She was performing burlesque occasionally, but now she's getting into her groove. And my love, her stage name is Seductive T.
I love it.
And, you know, we communicate about what we like to do, and we plan a lot of things to connect and reconnect and go out and play. You know, this morning we went on a date to the movies. We went to breakfast first, and then we went to the movies. So, you know, we find our time, we find our groove, and we celebrate 5 years. Next year we met at the Sunday Night Sugar Shack when I was a baby burlesquer, and so we celebrate 5 years, and we're going to go to Mexico to reconnect and recharge. And she's my number one fan.
I love that so much.
She's extremely supportive, and the best thing that she knows how to be, but, like, she's so present and just always wants to learn, and she's so sweet about it. She attends the shows that she's interested in going to. She helps to make sure that, you know, I have food and snacks and, you know, look at my choreography if I decide to show it. I'm known to not tell anybody about my new pieces before I create them.
I like that.
She gives me feedback. She'll pick me up if I need to be picked up. We've performed before, and I don't know when we're going to perform again for those of people who have seen us perform. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. I love you guys' connection, and I also love that both of your loves came in your life around that 5-year mark. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you remember what was going on with you, like that you attracted both Burlesque and Lynette around the same time?
I was really open at the time to meeting new people and expressing myself artistically in a new way. But I was legit, like, open. Just open to meeting new people. It's not easy to do in Seattle. Seattle freeze is a real thing. Mm-hmm. But I was really drawn by her when I first laid eyes on her. Like, I was just drawn by her energy and her, you know, the way that she interacted with the performer. It was respectful, but it was she was celebrating herself, and it was really, really wonderful to see.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool.
She has a reputation in Seattle for being a really amazing audience member.
Oh, wow. You know what? Yeah. So, okay, actually, let me ask you about that. I'm glad you brought that up. What goes into being a good audience member for Burlesque? And actually, I'm gonna micromanage your answer a little bit, because it's something in particular that I want you to speak to. When we talk about audience decorum and what is appropriate for audience members and what is not, can you clarify that for people that might not be too used to it? Because I think that because Burlesque is such a celebration, and because it is such a, like, it's so lively, I think a lot of people kind of lose their mind a little bit. Can you give a little clarity around that?
Definitely. Not be an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, the performer is going to take it off. And if they don't, like, that's their job. They're doing you a favor. So just don't be like, don't be an asshole. Do not fucking touch anybody.
Yeah.
Consent is a really, really big deal in Burlesque. Hootie hollers, scream and shout, respectfully. And if the show is a tipping show, follow the particular rules of how a person should be tipped at that show.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things. But, like, just treat people like human beings and respect their bodies. They're entertaining you. So be respectful, yo. And also know that, like, performers are not always on. I had an experience recently where I went to do some light mentorship to someone who's interested in Burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not in the audience. I was actually sitting in the lobby, and I was not in space. I was, you know, just there to do what I was there to do. And someone came up to me, and they were like, "Are you good?" And I looked at them, and I was just like, "Yes, I am, but I'm not here to be spice. I'm here for something else." And the person kept verbally, you know, pushing me, but like, "Well, you are spice, but you are spice though." And it was very pushy, and I was not prepared for that, so I just verbally let that person know that I was not in the mood to be on when they wanted me to be on. And that kind of stuff is really hard to tackle. because it could ruin your reputation. Someone could be like, oh, Spice is so good to me. And it was like, no, Spice wasn't Spice at that moment. And she didn't want to talk to you as Spice. She wanted you to leave her alone.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, audience rules are usually always stated before a burlesque show starts. So whatever burlesque show you go to, follow the fucking rules and don't be a dickhead.
That's great advice.
Like, performers are not always on. Many of us are introverts. So, you know, when we put on for you, we are exhausted afterwards. So if I don't want to be on, people, leave me alone.
That's real. That's real. That's really, really real. So, I do have another question for you. Again, like, another thing that I really admire about you and something that I try to practice in my own life is just remembering that I create my life. So anything mm-hmm. that is a part of it, it's something that I have placed in it. And I want to make sure that I'm being intentional in that. And I see that in you also, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to know, what does burlesque has a big place in your life for a reason. And what is it that it gives you? Why does it remain to be such a big part of your life?
Burlesque is a big part of my life because I am inspired by burlesque. I am inspired by the people that I meet, by the people that I see. I'm inspired by people's stories. I'm so inspired by people's various styles and expressions and performance. But I also get to inspire people too.
Yeah.
And that's the for me is that I'm inspired and I inspire people.
That's really cool. That's really cool. What is it that you hope to give your audience?
I always hope to give the audience a piece of my soul, a piece of my heart, and to let them know that, like, I'm sharing my personal stories with them in some way, shape, or form. Even if I'm, you know, doing a nerdless act, I pull from my real life. So I'm giving you a piece of me, and so if you say you, I feel something performing, that's what you feel. You feel me.
I love that. I really have an appreciation for nerdlesque. I think, and would you, for listeners that might not be familiar, would you explain what nerdlesque is?
Nerdlesque. I am not a self-proclaimed nerdlesque, but there is a genre of burlesque called nerdlesque, and there are various festivals surrounding comics, cartoons, cult movie culture, TV shows, and it has a really huge underpinning in burlesque, and, you know, it's another avenue for people who love all things nerdy, and I just think it's super, and I'm grateful to have been a part of some really amazing nerdless shows.
It's really cool. It's kind of like the marriage between cosplay and burlesque. It's really sweet.
It's so cool.
We talked about what burlesque gives you and what you hope to translate to your audience. And also, let me just say, as an audience member of yours, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Tell me about what is it like for you as an artist when you engage your audience after the show? What are some of the mm-hmm. things that, you know, people say to you that inspire you? Like, because the feedback means a lot. You know, Erica, Queen Erica's not lying. We artists and we sensitive about our shit. So what is it that, some of the conversations that keep you going after your shows, like, what does that sound like for you?
It's always like, you're so amazing, you're so great.
I love you.
I would I love it when audience members show appreciation by talking to me about how the performance made them feel, and if they had any emotional connection to what I presented on stage.
That's
you know,
really
as I said
sweet.
Before, like, I'm giving a piece of my heart, and so I naturally would like to know how that made you feel, if it made you feel some things.
That's really cool. And I mean, also, like, you're bearing your soul physically and emotionally. Like, tell me what you think. Literally. I'm stripping myself down for you.
It's extremely dense, but it wouldn't be me if it was not.
Man, like, seriously. Oh, my gosh. So, you have so much coming up. You have so much to look forward to. I'm so extremely proud and just that we met at this time. Because I feel like you're at this, I feel like you're almost at a crossroads in your career where, like, a year or 2 years from now, it's going to be really hard to, like, kind of make it through your entourage. Like, I'm glad that I claimed... I'm glad I got my spot now. I'm just saying, like, I feel like you really, and I'm not just trying to gas you up, but, like, honestly, I feel like you are about to, like, cross over into another, I just feel like your star is on the rise. So, can you tell me what are some of your goals for... I'm going to ask you, what are your goals for the next month, for the next year, and for the next decade? I'm going to ask you that way. And let's start with the first month.
Okay. It's get my art back into high school.
Okay.
I see on the physical, you know, hot yoga, when I'm regularly practicing, I feel good about my body and I sleep a lot better. It's hard to maneuver with my burlesque schedule getting so busy in the past year, but I have to make it work because it is something that really keeps me grounded.
Yeah, and that goes, and that circles into what we talked about self-care, too. So, I love that, you know, that you have that as a goal, like, caring for yourself is something that's a part of your goal system. I think that makes me want to look at my goals and see, what do I have self-care? Because if you don't plan, how is it? How does the saying go? You'll fail to plan if you... fail to plan. Is that how it goes?
I don't know.
I've gotten my words confused. I don't know. But I mean, seriously, like, if you don't intentionally make the action to say that this is a goal for me, then it's not going to happen. It's just going to be a wish forever. So, right. What about your goals for the next year?
I would love to travel to perform as much as I can.
Yes.
You know, that really boosts performers' careers when they're able to expand. But that also costs money. And so I hope to do that within my means, yeah.
That would be really cool. Yeah, I would love to, for you to travel this way again. Just saying. And what about the next decade? What are your goals?
In the next decade, you know, I hope to write about my experience as a burlesque performer.
Oh,
I don't know,
amazing.
Like, I'll write a book or something, but I hope to, in some way, shape, or form, like, just write about it, even if it's just for myself.
That would be so dope.
Because I want my nieces and nephews to know this story about me.
I mean, I feel like that's so important. That's so extremely important because history really is told from the people that have the positions of power unless you go out of your way to create your own narrative.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's so important. I had the pleasure of riding down to Tennessee last weekend with the incomparable Jory Tiger Lily. last week. And
yes, I
adore her. Oh my gosh, we're like two peas in a pod. We are two tiny peas in a pod, but we happened upon a thrift store, so of course we went in, and we found these books, and we found these books of melanated performers. And I'm talking about, like, Dorothy Dandridge, Josephine Baker. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool, like, looking at the pictures. But it also was a little demoralizing looking at how they were advertised as, like, the darky sensation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, come see the colored performers. I don't know. It was just very interesting. And it made me think, if these talented people had the opportunity to write their own billing, it probably would have had nothing to do with their complexions. It would have had everything to do with their talent, you know? So I'm really happy that you... Right, exactly. So I think that's awesome. In any way that I can support you, I'm so excited to do that. I'm so excited to see how that unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
So... we're a little bit past your fifth birthday. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really, really great, but also super, super overwhelmed.
Yeah, I bet. Now, let me ask you, are you at the drinking age? Is it the same? Can we have a toast to you for your fifth birthday?
Wait, say that again?
I said, I feel like we should have a toast to you for your fifth birthday, but I'm not sure if you're at the drinking age.
Because I'm only five.
Womp womp, that was corny. But, so, like, I wanted to just say, you know, looking back on your career at 5 years, like, what are some of the things that you're most proud of and excited about that you've been able to do?
I'm really excited about so many things, things that have surprised me, and things that I've accomplished in a really short time. I've achieved a lot of my goals in burlesque. I love working at the Academy of Burlesque here in Seattle. It's really special. The instructors there are really special, and the students are super, super special, because that's what makes that school go round. I love working with the Atomic Bombshells.
Okay.
It's a really, really fun experience. Everyone's a really powerhouse performer, but it's been amazing to see, like, how human these superhuman performers are. That's been really great to just see how human they are. I recently became the Bronze Beauties of Burlesque Ambassador Queen.
Yes, and congratulations again.
Thank you so, so much. That was a huge, huge surprise. I received that crown at the new What the Funk Fest here in Seattle. That was a surprise. I was crowned by Egypt Black Nile, who created this particular space. So you don't compete to get this crown. She handpicks you because she sees something in you, and the crowning is to create opportunities for a performer that just needs it over that edge. I've done most of my burlesque performing here in Seattle. And so my hope is that this will create more opportunities for me, but that I'm able to create more opportunities for people of color here in Seattle, and to offer more of my teaching with my class, Hips Don't Lie, which is just a magical experience about learning about your body, but also about who you are and how you operate in life and with other people. And you usually don't get that out of a dance class, but that's what the students get. So I'm so excited about all of that stuff. And, you know, my other goals are going to have to wait in some regards just because of timing and finances. But, you know, there are places that I'd like to go and things that I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. I would love to go to the Burlesque Hall of Fame Weekenders. But right now, I'm still focusing on traveling and gaining more exposure so that more people know how I dance on stage.
Yeah, that's fantastic. One thing I wanted to add about your class is that we were speaking, we were on the phone, I don't know, it might have been a month ago or a couple of weeks ago, and I really appreciate the way that you take time to talk about the history of the movements that are being incorporated. And I think that I just wanted to take a minute to really thank you for that, because whenever you're sharing an art form, you're sharing it with people that may be from the culture and may not have a natural appreciation, or people that might not be from the culture and don't see the need to appreciate or really learn and engage about what the culture that they're borrowing from, you know? So mm-hmm. I just think that's amazing that you do that. So if you are a person that is able to take one of Spice's classes, I would urge you to do it. Spice, remind me, do you offer your classes virtually also?
Not at this time.
Okay.
But if someone is interested in a virtual Hip-Hop-Live one-on-one or some sort of customized version of that, you will want to contact the Academy of Burlesque for a virtual private lesson with me, or a one-on-one lesson if you are a Seattleite in person.
That would be cool. You know, I was just... Okay. I'm just brainstorming, so feel free to say no, but it would be really cool to just, maybe we could do like a visual recording or maybe another audio recording, and specifically talking about the history of burlesque, and maybe we can talk specifically about melanated people, in the history of burlesque. That would be really cool.
I think the best person for that is not bossing me, and that's Didi Bardot. One of my house advisors, who is a sexy librarian and knows so much and has so much knowledge and access to knowledge. It would be great to do a lesson or an episode with her just about that, because she knows the things I'm still learning about that.
I would love that. You know, actually, I wanted to shout out Bibi Bardot in this episode also, when we were talking about burlesque performers of darker skin, because seeing Bibi, she's another performer where she has a very clearly defined brand, and she is a dynamite performer. Like, she's one of those performers where her very subtle movements draw you in. Like, everything, she
bats her eyes.
That's what I was about to say. Like, she bats her eyes, and it's almost like, oh my God, I just saw everything just from her blinking her eye. It's amazing. Oh my God, she's amazing. I went to a brunch, and she came close to me, and I was like, just keep it together. Like, just be a person. Just don't lose all your shit. Just keep it together. And it's like, then she like straddles me and puts her glove around my neck, and I'm just like, just be a part of the chair. Just become a part of the chair. Like, don't melt. Just become a part of the chair.
Trying to be 30.
I'm trying so hard to maintain my cool girl status. Like, oh my God, I'm melting. But, oh, it's terrible. But yeah, so shouts out to Bibi Bardot. Shouts out to all of the burlesque performers. All of you that really just, share your art and put your vulnerability on stage. It's so beautiful to see. And if you have not seen this in person, what the fuck is your problem? You know, like, I...
But open your mind, though, like, because there are so many various types of burlesque shows.
Yes.
You know, I've talked a little bit about nerdlesque, but there's also just a various shows. You know, if you're super into Halloween, like, now's the time.
Yeah.
To go see a burlesque show. I'm pretty sure Gordita Maricona.
Yes, Gordita here in Richmond for sure.
So make sure, you know, you do that. Like, if you're into Halloween, like, maybe that's the only time of year you go see burlesque. But there is something for a lot of people in burlesque. Mm-hmm. And so just see what's out there.
Yeah, find your tribe. Like, they're there.
Yep.
So, if someone wanted to contact you and ask you more questions, how would they do that?
They can contact me via email. I am spicybeans@gmail.com, and that's spicy. It's spicybeans@gmail.com, and I am spicybeans. Same spelling as before, spicy thing with two E's. I'm on Instagram. My page is private for a reason. I do have a day job, and I like to keep those lives separate. Mm-hmm. So you can send me a message or send me a request. I screen everything because I don't like trolls, and I like to energy even in my social media posts. So you can email me or find me on Instagram.
Cool. And I will put, I will also put your email in the description of this episode. So, let's do this like, I'm assuming that this was a thing on the West Coast too, but I know here, like, in East Coast radio, it was this big thing, like, in the late 90s, where right before the radio DJ was going to get off the air, he would give like 30 minutes worth of shout outs to like all of his friends, all of his homies.
A half an hour.
Like, that's, it would just be ridiculous. Or like, if you got to call in, you would just be like, I want to shoot a shout out to my mom and my dad and everybody that know me. So before you get off, who you want to send your shout outs to?
Let me give a shout out to.
Yeah, in your Banshee Girl voice, yeah.
Guys, I'm clapping, y'all, and my fingers are spread, and I'm doing the finger grab thing. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Kellum, my sister friend. Edith Black Nile, my sister friend, mentor mother. Lona Frost, who, like, I don't, like, know her in person, but, like, I'm just very inspired by how she cares for herself and when she works so, so much. It's really inspiring. Inga, I'm inspired by Inga, just by her being such a strong Chinese stripper.
Aww.
Just on stage, but like in real life strong. Mustafa Ecstatic. They are just so amazing to behold on stage. Mm-hmm. Just stay tuned because there's so much more in store for them. Ruby Mimosa, who's like a real life friend and just really amazing performer, is curating a show called Burlesque Baroque here in Seattle, and it's just really dope and a super fun party.
Cool.
Isaiah Esquire, who is the gentlest of gentle giants. Cool. You need to do yourself a favor and find Isaiah wherever you can on the internet. And if they are in town with their partner, Johnny Muriel, who I'm also inspired by, just like go check them out. They're amazing.
Cool.
I also have some children.
Barley babies.
DeMonica Leone, Holly Hellion, Rhode Island Red, Noel Noir, and Lavish Leone, who's my new baby.
Oh.
I adore and want to give shouts out to Show My More.
I love you, Show My More.
I mean, she is just a brilliant and smart human and just so kind and so sweet. I just absolutely adore her. Jezebel
is so beautiful.
This summer, and it's just an absolute beauty to behold.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Outside and inside.
Yes. And she's another one. Actually, both of them, both Show My More and Jezebelly, very, very clearly defined brands. And they personify their brands, like, with,
if no one understands social media very, very well.
Oh, my gosh.
And that really shows, if you follow them, they're like, they're just so sweet.
Oh, my gosh. Like, Jezebelly drips, like she drips, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like drip, yeah, drip, like crazy, absolutely crazy.
And I also, who I really adore, is one of my House of Nile sisters, Crocodile Lightning, who I just like watched on the internet and just was like gushed over just how amazing she was. But like being around her, video chatting with her, and she is just has also a very clear defined brand, which is a key, and I just love nice people. And all three of these performers, people, Show My More, Jezebelly, and Crocodile Lightning, are in Chicago. They are amazing, and if you get a chance to behold, just do yourself a favor. But if you get a chance to talk to them, they're gonna melt your heart.
Oh man, Crocodile Lightning is the coolest name ever.
Such a sweetie.
I love it. I just wanted to say one more time, Vanessa Chevelle, Jory Tiger Lily, I love you ladies so much. Thank you for doing and just gracing Richmond the way that you do. You're amazing.
Thank you for bringing me to Richmond and introducing me to Richmond, Virginia, a city I now love.
Yes.
And hope to come back to.
Yes.
And for bringing me my new best friend, Fancy.
Yes. Like, seriously, Spice. We sat down, and we did not know that at the end of that conversation, we would figure out that we'd already known each other in another dimension. It's no way we did not know each other in another dimension.
That's, like, fact.
Like, the fastest friends ever. I do have...
Like, maybe I was scared at first.
You said what?
Maybe I was scared at first.
I don't know what was going on. Like, I was like, why doesn't she want to talk to me?
Well, you made it happen.
I really did. I was really determined. I was like, you know what? This is another opportunity. You should talk to me. I'm really cool.
You are beautiful, Betsy. You are.
Please be my friend. So, I have one more question. So I'm very excited. I don't know if I've really talked about this much on the podcast itself. I've talked about it on the Instagram, on our Instagram page, but somewhere in between is starting a book club, and I wanted to curate a list of books that people that I'm interviewing are reading, as just some extra reading if people want to do, and maybe we can also pull some of those books for our book club, for the books that we're going to actually discuss. But what is it that you, well, you can answer this one of two ways. You can either answer what you are currently reading or something that you have read that has helped shape you to where you are now that you feel like is important enough to share?
So many things. The Book of Night Women by Molly Jane, who is a Jamaican American writer, award-winning writer.
Mm-hmm.
It is just an amazing book about the liberation of historical fiction about the liberation of Jamaica by women. One woman in particular. It's a beautiful and powerful story with very, very strong language, but, you know, Jamaica's one of my motherland and a place where some of my ancestors are from. So I love the book. It's really great and really powerful. If you're into historical fiction, that book is great. And it's completely written in Jamaican patois. I love it.
Yes, and thank you for sharing that book. I have really enjoyed reading it. I haven't been as proactive as I'd like to be with it because I tend to jump in and out of books sometimes, but I am really enjoying following the story. So definitely I'm going to add that to our reading list.
Yeah.
Very cool. Spice, do you know that I love you? Good. I just wanted to make sure that you knew. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be a part of the show. Anytime that you want to come back, you're more than welcome. I had so much fun with our conversation today. Did you have anything that you wanted to add? Did we leave anything out?
No, not really. Thank you, Sandy, for having me. This is my first podcast, as I said. I hope that people enjoy what they heard and really enjoyed, like, actually hearing my voice probably for the first time. you're welcome.
Yeah, man, like, really, really, I can't thank you enough, not only for, like, being who you are, but sharing your art, and again, just, like, taking time to be here with us, and that's super cool of you. So, guys, don't forget to follow, send Spice a message, follow her on Instagram. Also, her email is going to be in the link below, so you can send her messages that way. Also, I am going to tag as many people as I possibly can that we shouted out in this episode, so please make sure that you're supporting them as well. Follow them on Instagram, show them your support, go to their shows, appreciate the art, just do amazing shit, you know? Like, I hope that this...
support
man, like, support the arts. I really hope that this episode helps you understand that, you know, a lot of the things that we take for granted, which tends to be people that provide things for us, if it's a service or if it's entertainment, they are people, and they have stories, and really cool stories at that, so... Whenever you have an opportunity to, like, celebrate their art or celebrate their work, please, please take those opportunities because you walk away as a richer, fuller person. So, okay, I'm not going to keep rambling. Guys, thank you so much. I love you all. Thank you, and I will see you next week. Don't forget to get lost somewhere in between. Peace. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to the episode. I hope you had as much fun listening as I had making it. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, tell a friend, share that shit, everything. And I will see you later for another episode. Peace.